Watch out! It's a fury of teas!
I certainly don't know what that means. But I'll tell you what I do know, guys. T-Fury is the original pop culture t-shirt destination, selling unique designs every day since 2008. You can snag their shirts for only 24 hours, starting at midnight. Hey, you! Missing a shirt from the past and want to get it again? Head to the T-Fury Gallery, where you can buy some old designs still in print and vote on others to come back from the dead. You know, I like to say zombie style. Every 2 to 4 weeks, T-Fury adds more designs to their gallery, so be sure to keep an eye out for the return of your favorite shirts. T-Fury shirts cover all your favorite topics and fandoms. They got everything from gaming, sci-fi, anime, TV, movies, pop culture, and more. Their t-shirts change daily, so check back as often as you'd like. Also, feel free to get a life if you're not able to check in that much. I don't think anybody's going to hate you for it. Also, don't forget about the T-Fury After Hours sale. If you miss the day's shirt by only a little, they keep the sale going into the wee hours of the morning just for you. Check out tfury.com/nerdist and see what today's shirt is all about. Guys, that is advertising. Hey guys, welcome to episode 95 of the JV Club. 95, feel alive. No. I gotta tell you, I really could have had a career in advertising. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in with my wonderful guest, Maria Thayer. We thought this would be kind of a fun way to time this out. I pre-recorded this before I came up to Sketchfest, but she is performing this week at the Slipknot's Variety Show here in San Francisco, so we'll get a chance to hang out with her up here. As I record this, I am looking, that's my squeaky chair in my hotel room, guys. Squeaky chair. As I record this, I am staring out into the marvelous and foggy San Francisco. It's so foggy, it looks like a smoke machine. Like maybe we're just at a giant bad concert where they're relying on smoke machines instead of good music. It's absolutely gorgeous out. That's my favorite kind of weather. I'm delighted to be here. My voice has the characteristic Sketchfest huskiness, which means I am not getting enough sleep, but I am really enjoying myself up here. We have an amazing staff this year, such amazing shows. We finished out our first weekend. We are midweek here and looking forward to a really exciting weekend upcoming. So anybody who is still thinking about getting themselves out to San Francisco, I encourage you to do so. It'd be great to see you in person. Those of you whom I've already seen in person, like you, Russell, for example, and of course, some of my wonderful friends who have helped me out with the podcast and continue to do so, my beautiful Heather W., my marvelous Caitlin. So everything's going all right, guys. I don't know, but listen, nobody's asking, but I'm telling you just the same. Let me get into some shout outs. I am behind in actually responding to some of your notes, but I at least wanted to acknowledge that I did receive them and enjoy them, including some comments online. Want to thank for your emails Diane L., Chloe, and James L., and wish Chloe all the best. I want to thank from the Nerdist page Anna, Amy, Rob, S., PJ, Mine, Desi. Possibly I'm not saying that right. Jocelyn, also possible I'm not saying that right. Jenny and Andrew, thanks for weighing in there on Facebook. I want to thank Deborah, Pierre, Jerome, and Marty for your comments. Thanks, guys. Twitter, no surprise, hugely behind on that. But yeah, I'm going to leave you with this. And God, everyone loves a great trail off at the end of an intro. Let me see if I can come up with an even better one. Yes, yeah, so
now entering Nerdist.com.
I'm not wasting a second longer. Look at every single thing we talked about. We could have talked about online. Could have talked about Get Lost. Mm-hmm. Could have talked about hair wet. Could have talked about, I could have complained about my dogs. God knows I've done that a million times on the podcast.
What could
not? No, it's just going to be an hour of silence.
Yeah, we did it. We did it. And now we got absolutely nothing to say. Thanks for coming over in the early morning times.
Oh, I'm sorry that I'm glad that. No, thank you for asking me. It was really excited.
I've been wanting
excited.
You to do it forever. You know I've been talking to you about this since it started. Every time I see you, I'm
years.
Like,
blah, blah, blah.
And then we're like, yeah. And then a year passes.
Yes.
So stupid.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad it happened. I'm glad it wasn't one of those empty things. Like, those empty LA things that we should get lunch and we never, yeah, ever do. Believed in it. We both believed that it was going to happen.
We totally did. And let's talk about that for a second. I don't like to over LA talk, although God knows it always ends up happening on the podcast. But
because this is where I struggle with the LA thing is that it feels, and we can, you know what, we can open this out into more kind of bigger picture stuff.
Great. Like life stuff.
Like life stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's troubling for me about the LA thing is that I feel like part of it is like it gets a bad rap, but the sincerity is real. Like it's hard. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, some people don't mean it.
Yes.
In the sort of like if an agent tells me that they want to have lunch with me, I absolutely am like, this is what I hate about LA.
Yes.
But if someone like you, yes, if I see you in an audition and we're like, God, it would be really fun to hang out, I know that's real.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't mean it's going to, yes, happen because life is very, like your life gets so sporadic and like the way we work and the fact that like you sort of go out of town or you come back or everything's so random. Yes. There's, yes, no like this person gets worked into my schedule,
yes,
in this way,
yes,
that it's really challenging.
Yes.
But I also feel like on the flip side of that, it can feel like, oh, it's just a city of people making plans they never come through on.
Yes. And I wonder if you're like me, like I just like a lot of people.
Me too. Please.
I just like people.
Please. Same.
And I'm interested in them and I would love to
assume the
down.
Best.
I mean, you have a podcast where you talk to people. So you like
really found a way.
Interested. Yeah.
You're
always having basically lunch with people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think I want to have lunch, but then there's only so much, life is finite,
yeah,
you know, and you only have a certain amount of time. So it just, right now I'm thinking that I have like a couple of ladies that I want to have lunch with and I've said like, let's have lunch and I really mean it, but it's going to be, it might be a year. It might be like a Janet Varney podcast situation.
It might be. And nobody, I mean, at least there's like a unified kind of understanding about it on our end. I think. I mean, it seems like we all sort of go, I don't know that there are that many people that you're drawn to who see that and then go home and like have a million pictures of you on their wall and are like,
Maria said she was going to call. She wanted to have lunch.
You know what I mean? Like that person feels the same as you and is saying the same thing. And then like, you know, which is why it's nice to have, to create a structure, which is why I feel like there are more, I say this now having not participated in any of the ones I was a member of, but like more kind of book club type things or like, yes, when women down here have babies, they see each other all the time because it becomes like baby connection.
Yes.
And you know what I,
yes,
mean? And like,
yes,
if you find,
are you
things,
saying that we need to have a baby to see our friends?
I guess I am.
It really got into life stuff very quickly.
I told you.
Oh my God.
I was warned.
I think
warned.
We should have a baby together.
They will see each other all
personal,
the time, Janet.
Right? We won't be able to get out of that. My two moms and my two dads haven't had my two moms.
I know.
It was my two dads that they didn't know who the dad was. And have I asked this on a podcast before, possibly? And why the fuck would this be coming up again?
I think it was. I think the woman died. Did she die?
Yeah, she probably did.
She probably did.
Well,
she was a woman. She died.
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
By the way, that almost makes it sound like the show took place on like Little House in the Prairie times. Like, listen, women died in childbirth a lot back in the 80s.
Who were the two dads? I don't remember.
First of all, let me hook you up with only one because I have no idea who the other one was. Certainly one of them was Paul Reiser.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's what
don't
I thought.
Don't remember who the girl was.
The girl,
don't remember the
didn't you think
guy.
The girl was so, I remember thinking she was so beautiful
she
when
was
I was
the epitome
little.
Too of like 80s beauty.
She had
like
long
the perfect
hair.
Permy, like
yes!
Long perm.
Oh my God.
Scrunchy back here.
Oh my God.
Double socks, like Reeboks high
oh
tops.
My God.
Bright pegged pants.
Yeah,
like a baggy overcoat, like
yes.
a bright oversized sweatshirt.
Yes. She had it all.
Her name might have been Stacy something.
Except her mom died.
Yeah, but she had,
or maybe
let
not.
Me
I don't know.
But listen to me. Did you not hear me? Double socks.
Oh, you're right. Worth it.
High tops.
We'd all kill our mothers.
We don't all get two dads. Yeah. Because Three Men and
for
a Baby.
Double socks.
Yeah.
Yes.
For Three Men and a Baby was definitely that she deserted her child, because I remember it was played by Nancy Travis, who was playing a British woman.
Why did she desert her child?
I think she was like a
career
big
woman?
Actress. Yeah. She was like a big actress who couldn't be bothered with, like, I'm not sure. I need to revisit that movie.
Of course, we all do.
Right.
Everyone should.
I'm a little surprised they haven't remade that in a weird way. Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't you see it's like Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah, it's
Seth Rogen.
It's Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Seth Rogen, Paul Rudd.
And Will Forte.
I'm glad you said that, because I was afraid you were going to say Jonah Hill, and I'm not ready to have Jonah Hill on Three Men and a Baby.
No, I don't think so. I think he's past that. He's like nominated for an Oscar, isn't he? I was just thinking about him because I did my first, maybe my first movie. I can't remember now. I'm like at the point, not that I've done so much, but I'm just so old. I just maybe so old that like people are sometimes say, oh, I know you from, like, I'll work with somebody and they'll say, oh, I know you from somewhere. Have we worked together? Have you done this show? And I can't remember if I've done that show or not.
Oh, that's,
like, it maybe
no,
was
that's
like,
great. That is a good problem. Have I?
No,
feel
it's because
that
it's a problem
you
with
think
my brain.
It's a brain thing?
I think it's a brain. I probably have a brain tumor.
God, that's for sure. Stop. Keep talking about the brain tumor.
Anyway.
What else? Do you smell toast? No, that's a stroke. That's something different.
Yeah,
what
toast, toast is a stroke.
Is it? Okay.
I think.
That's such a specific. Listen, it's a very pleasant smell.
Yeah.
I love the smell of toast. I'd get so excited that I smell toast that I wouldn't. The warning sign isn't good. It's like you should smell sulfur so that you really are alarmed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Toast, but maybe it would you get so excited that you just like, it'd be like those electronic shocks that you
shock yourself out of it?
Yes, you're just like excited for life.
This idea.
And then you somehow like, you don't go towards the light.
All right. Even if the light has a toast smell that you're excited about. I wish those two things combined. And when people said that they had experienced near death, they were like, oh my God, I was walking towards the best bakery smell. It was like the brightest, bakeriest. That'd be amazing.
It doesn't. Nobody comes back and says it sucks though, right? They're all, I feel like the people that have almost died, when they come back, they say, oh, it was so wonderful.
Which, this is big picture stuff. But I mean, don't scientists say that the reason for that, if there's even a reason, has more to do with like just whatever your brain is firing off at the end rather than like.
Yes, I think scientists do say that. Scientists ruin everything.
I know. They don't believe in magic at all. Listen, they don't know. We're constantly unlocking things that we thought we knew the answers to that we don't. It would be amazing if it was like, well, your transference into spatial energy creates this feeling of euphoria before you leave your body, but then all of your energy and your consciousness exists and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Like, maybe that will be a thing.
Yes. I think that probably is the future of science. I mean, that kind
sort of
like
metaphysics and
energy as actually. I feel like science and religion, if not all, they're not already sort of merging. I mean, I don't know.
I like the idea of that very much.
Mm-hmm.
I think I feel the same way. Like, I'm such a nerd for like the Carl Sagans of the world who have a spiritualism to their science. Like,
yes.
Have you ever heard that song that's like, it's like a.
You can't not sing song, the word song. That's one of the wonderful things about you, Janet.
Oh, God. I can't sing it because it's an auto-tuned series of quotes by Carl Sagan that they put into like an electronic, like it's a little bit of just like a, what's the term I'm looking for? I'm now who's old. You know, it's just like a good sort of like indie electronic song. But it's mostly, have you heard this?
No, but I'm going to Google it
it's
as soon as I leave
beautiful.
You.
Like the part that always makes me well up
uh-huh.
is it's their chorus, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's him saying, a still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise.
Uh-huh.
Something about 4 billion suns rising on the Milky Way. And if we do not destroy ourselves, we will one day venture to the stars.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, like another quote is like, I believe how we interact with our world here and our future powerfully depends upon our understanding of the universe.
Uh-huh.
And so that's like the best argument. Cause sometimes you do think like, oh, space travel. Like, do we need space travel? We need to like feed the hungry children.
Yes, yes.
Do we need space travel? But
yes.
I like that he sort of was able to put it into this grand context of like, we won't know how important it is to exist as human beings on this planet and save ourselves and save our children if we don't kind of have a sense of where we belong in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah. And that wonder of where of that world outside of our world.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say about that? I don't know. I don't remember.
That it was really good.
Boom.
I mean, it is early in the morning. It is. We can.
Are you religious?
I did.
Are you religious at all?
I grew up Mormon. These guys know that. I didn't grow up Mormon in the sense that like I believed in being Mormon.
Yes.
But my parents separated. My dad's an atheist. My mom's Mormon.
Is she still Mormon?
Kind of. Uh-huh. Like I think she's found a way to make it work for her, which is pretty unusual for Mormons because they're unlike Catholics or sort of Jews who don't necessarily go to temple but once every, you know, like few months or whatever. Mormons, the expectation is really like you need to be super consistent and you need to believe all these things and like it's strict.
Yes.
And so it's been interesting to see, I think even in my lifetime, to see there be like a weird kind of, I think there's more flexibility in that church even where people can, where it's just not as like, hush, hush, like, yeah, she hasn't been coming to church lately. Like, I think it's kind of relaxed a little
good.
Bit. It's interesting. What about you?
Oh, I'm something similar. I mean, not Mormon, but my mom is very, I was raised super Christian and my parents are separated, but my dad is an atheist. I don't even know if he's an atheist. He's just like, I don't know. And I don't care. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll never know. So I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. My dad's like that too. And I'm sort of envious of I'm envious of both in a way. Like I'm envious of faith.
Yeah.
Because I don't have it.
Yeah.
Per se.
Yes.
And I'm envious in just being so relaxed that you don't care. Because I feel like I'm trapped somewhere in between where like you have that sort of existential search where you're like, I'd love to know or sense and have an understanding of or feel protected by this kind of master plan or whatever it is that people of faith have, or just be like, whatever, when I'm dead, I'm dead. Like when people say it, I'm like, really? I don't want to just be dead. I don't know what is going on. I don't know.
My dad is 84 years old. He had me very, very late. And
he gave birth to you.
Yeah, you did.
Well, way to bury the lead, Maria.
I'm sorry to mention it before.
I gotta get into that.
And so he really believes it. Like, I feel like when you're 84, that's when I would, if I don't know at 84, I'm going to be like, I'm a Christian or I'm a Mormon, whatever. I'm going to pick something.
Yeah.
So that light not only smells like toast, it's going to like, be like somebody, a guy with like open arms, you know, but,
a Teletubby.
You're like, just
no, why'd I make that sexy? Yeah, he is. He's going to welcome you in. Weird. Heaven's, why wouldn't heaven be sexy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Sex is great. Uh-oh. Lightning bolt.
I've been doing this weird thing. I read this article. I hate when people say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it.
I'm already
I read this
excited.
Article in the New Yorker.
I love it. Please. That's the reading equivalent, which makes you even better than me, who's always saying, like, I was listening to Radiolab. So believe me.
Oh, me too. I say that too.
Yeah.
I can get through the articles in New Yorker. I almost said I read this article in the New York Times like 3 minutes ago, but then I realized I just read the headline.
I appreciate your candor admitting that.
I didn't even read the first line. I was like, I'm never going to finish this.
Oh, man.
I'm not. This writing is too dry.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was it? Oh, so it was talking about, like how plants, they're doing all these studies on plants and plants sort of have an awareness of what they're on a different timeline, but they're, because they grow slow. You can't see except for like time-lapse photography, like them moving necessarily, but that they have an awareness of their surroundings and, like how, they don't know how there's different theories, but like, I mean, I've seen it just in, I'm a gardener and I, you know, you see it when you like plant a bean plant or something, or like a garbanzo bean plant, they just grow and then they find the thing that they're supposed to like weave around. And you think, since you're not watching it all the time, you think that it's just like they're bouncing, they're growing every which way. And like at some point they grab on to this thing. But in all these studies, they're saying that
a lot of the time they sort of know somehow their surroundings, and they go towards a thing.
Yeah.
And it's really made me, and they have all these defense mechanisms, and they're somehow, like, of course they're not conscious or anything, but it's really made me, like, after reading this article, I have a little house on a big plot of land, and I noticed that I like yesterday I told a plant that I loved it. Just like, it just like came out of my mouth. But like, I'm like in my garden, like touching my plants. I sound like a real kook, but
I just love, like, there's something, everything I'm hearing right now. So much. There's so many things that, God, hold on a sec. Cause I just want to, I'm afraid I'm going to forget some of the stuff. I just want to lay it out because maybe you'll help me remember.
Okay, great.
I definitely want to, well, I'm going to tie a lot of this into like where you grew up and find out if any of that stuff, okay. First of all, and, okay. So I want to get back to that. Kind of like put it in context in that way.
Great.
Number two, I couldn't love anything more than hearing someone in the LA area say they have a small house on a big plot of land, because I feel I've never heard that. Number three, I love that you're able to describe yourself as a gardener. That makes me so happy. Number four, clearly love that you told the plant that you loved it. I'll just start with those. I think that was like actually five things. So, I think that's absolutely marvelous. Tell me where you grew up. Cause now I know about your mom and your dad, them being apart and the religion kind of side of it with that, put it into a place for me.
I've said this before on other, but I grew up in a lot of different places. We moved around a ton, mm-hmm. but I started out in Oregon on a bee farm. We had a bee farm in this place called Boring, Oregon, which is outside of Portland. And
so we'll just gloss over that it's called Boring, Oregon. Yeah. Great.
I'm sure you've
talked about it already.
I should have. You know what? I've talked about it so much that I feel like I should have like a joke that I would like just like some sort of. But I don't have like a joke for it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's just it's Boring, Oregon, and it was my dad was and I didn't. My dad bought a bee. My mother is deathly allergic to bees. Deathly.
Amazing.
So she always carried like an EpiPen with her. This, like, I don't know if people know what that is. It's just like an anti-inflammatory, like, yeah, or I think it is like, yeah, something that I mean, it would, if she got stung, she would die, deathly allergic. And my dad bought this bee farm.
And so they were already together. Yes. When he bought it. And yes. She knew already that she was allergic. Yes. When he bought
it. Yes. They did not have, they got divorced. I mean,
like, was he giving her the finger as he signed the deed to the bee farm?
I don't know what is.
An amazing
story. I never talked to him about it. But it just, my dad is like, I don't even know how to describe him. When I talk about him with my friends, they're like, I can't tell if your dad's a jerk or he's just like a funny curmudgeon, or there's just like, I have a lot of different opinions on him.
He sounds like a real character.
Yeah, he's a real character. So we had that bee farm, and I lived there for the first four years of my life, and then we moved to Seattle, and then we moved to Montana, California, Georgia, Minnesota, Montana again. I don't know.
Son of a gun. And yeah. This is all through you still living with your parents and before you left for college.
With my mom, yes. This is all.
Your mom, okay. Did your dad stay in?
My dad, no, he went off to, when they got divorced, the bee farm went bankrupt, which is.
B is for bankrupt would be maybe the name of that book of memoirs. On his part. You don't have to write that memoir.
No, I'm not going to. It's too specific.
Yeah.
So he moved to Montana, where weirdly all my mom's family was. And so like, I do a thing that when people say, where are you from? Because I feel like saying all this stuff, I'm just telling you but and all your listeners, but I feel like it's almost too personal. Like when someone says, where are you from? It's just sort of like they're asking like an innocuous question.
Yeah.
Like, well, just trying to make conversation. And when I say I'm from all these places, I feel like I'm revealing something about myself, which is I'm from this crazy family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. It's so weird when those innocuous questions don't have easy answers for a person, because I feel like that happens in a lot of it can happen for different reasons.
Yes.
Like, oh, how's your brother now? Well, my brother passed away. You
yes.
know, those moments where
yeah.
you have to think to yourself, like, well, I don't want to be dishonest, but there isn't an easy answer. And
yes.
like, what is this? Yeah. What
yes.
is, What am I opening up by answering honestly?
Yes, yeah. And I'm perfectly happy to talk about it with people, but I feel like when I'm just meeting somebody, they don't want to. That's not what they really ask. They're just like trying to like fill the silence.
Yeah. Or they did want to know, mm-hmm. but they just wanted to have the answer be like a slot that you can be dropped into. Yes. Like, oh, Janet's from Arizona. Somehow I'm going to make that make sense to me.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm going to let that say something about her.
Yes.
Whether it does or not.
Yeah. Or like it brings, do you watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
That takes place in Arizona, right?
No.
It does. New Mexico. Oh, New Mexico, you're right.
Listen, they're very similar.
I'm so sorry to both of those states.
Listen, nobody has a problem. If anything, Arizona, if me in Arizona would be like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, because Spring Bad's really cool and New Mexico's really cool. And there's a lot of meth in both. So no worries on that. No, but that totally makes sense. And luckily, you're doing a podcast that's all about that. So I feel very open indeed about asking. No, but like, but that's a really good point. And we don't have to spend that much time on this because you don't have to tell your mom's story. You know what I mean? But I'm interested in particularly sort of your adolescence with the sort of shuffling around. You know, I have had a fair number of guests who did a ton of moving.
Yeah, I think
it's interesting to see how it sort of shapes you when you're at this critical age where, you know, your hormones are going crazy and you're spending so much time thinking about who you think you are.
Yeah.
But how much of that is real, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So where were you when you were in high school, for example?
I was in high school. How much of that
were you settled in at all during those 4 years?
Yes, I was. When we landed in Minnesota, I was in middle school, it was right before middle school. So I had a big chunk of time in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and so by the time I got to high school, I felt like I was. Like I knew people and it wasn't that kind of, it was just as a young kid that I was going to different schools and meeting people.
Yeah. Did it take you a little while in Minnesota to not have that? Like, did you have the sort of expectation as a young person, like at any moment my mom could be like, well, listen, we're going to move again.
I don't remember. I know that I felt when I got to Minnesota, because we moved from Georgia, which I really felt alien there because
it's
everybody.
It's so different from all the West Coast places too that you just described. There can be a sort of like, all right, they're not that different, but Georgia's pretty different.
Yeah, it's so different. When I go to the South, it still feels really different for me. I mean, they wanted to get out of this country. it's beautiful and like there's stuff, all my favorite writers are from the South
and you're really good friends with Janie too, and she's so Southern to me, like she's so Carolinas to me.
Yeah she's such a like a lady. I just saw her last night and I told my friend, I was like, after we saw her, I was like, Janie is such a lady.
I know I feel like such a big, like, what's going on? Like I feel like I hawk and spit in front of her. I don't know where certain people just make you feel more like a dude, or like, they bring out their energy, makes you bring out a part of your energy that you're if anything, I would like to like mirror you. Yeah. Why am I being the extreme opposite?
Yeah. I feel like so wild. Anyway, the South felt very strange. Like that, out of all the things that that probably is the period of time, we only were there 9 months, that I remember the most, because it was just so, everything was just so different there, and people spoke different and they acted different and the schools were different. My principal, like, a chain smoked. It felt like very wild, there, but I do know that when I went
to Minnesota, smoked. Amazing. Okay.
Minnesota.
So you didn't have the feeling of like the precarious feeling of like, oh, alarm bell, my mom's going to tell me that we're moving again. That sort of sounds like you just like rolled with the punches, maybe, or you just don't remember.
She was always like, we're not Minnesotan. She didn't like Minnesota. And so she was like, we're not Minnesota. So I always felt like there. Very outside of it. Yeah.
What was the work that she was doing?
She was a flight attendant.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. yeah, so, but I did, I remember, like, I wrote a poem and when I got there that I saw recently that was like,
God damn it, I wish you had it.
I wish I had it too. It was like, no, I just remember one line. It was just like, no oceans are here. No, well, I don't remember the rest of it. Just complaining about Minnesota. No oceans are here. Yeah. No mountains. Oh. Just like I miss the West.
Sure. Did you have a sense, even when you were going to school there, like when you were in high school, that you knew you eventually wanted to get back out to the West Coast?
No, I mean, I
you moved to New York, no?
I moved to New York. Yeah. I moved to New York for school, but I thought that I was going to end up in Seattle, which is in a place that we lived. And I, but then, you know, quickly I realized I can't make a living in Seattle.
Yeah, unless you're going to be like a brilliant computer programmer or yes, a coffee brewery.
Yes,
company.
I can't make a living as an actress.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to school for. So that, but I took me a long time to come out to Los Angeles. And I don't know why, because this is so much more my speed than New York was. But I fell in love with New York, and I was one of those New Yorkers that was like, I can't leave. This is where I have to live for the rest of my days.
Yeah, that's how I felt about San Francisco. And then one day, all of a sudden, so fast. It's amazing to me how fast my switch flipped from like being 100% sure I was never going to come to LA to like, you know what? I'm going to stay here. Like, it just happened fast.
Do you know what?
I was like, everyone in San Francisco is so self-righteous about how much they hate LA, which is kind of enjoyable when you live up there. But I got brought down here to like audition for pilot season and stuff. And I really, like, even to the point of like putting my suitcase in my car, I was like, okay, manager, we'll see how this goes. Like, can't wait to get down there and prove to myself how much I don't want to live in LA. And I feel like within 1 week, I was like, I think I could do this. Like, it was so fast.
Yeah.
I turncoated on my fucking city of San Francisco so fast. I felt so guilty.
Ugh. I felt like it took me a while to, I went back and forth from New York, and I would be here for 10 months out of the year. I would still be like, and I hadn't seen my apartment in New York for, you know, for, I hadn't gone back there. And people would be like, where you live? I'd be like, here. I mean, not here. I'd be
New
like,
York. New York.
I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
But I would, all my time was spent here. And then I just remember one day I was in an audition. I was waiting outside of an audition at Jeannie McCarthy's. And I was sitting there and I thought, I'm moving to LA. And it just, that, and that was when I think about when I moved, my stuff came months later, but that's when I moved.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. Yeah. I totally get that. Well, let me get back to gardening for a second, because God knows I'm excited about it. So when you were in Minnesota, did you already knew that you wanted to be in theater? And did you already know that you were that was an interest for you by the time you were in high school?
No, I mean, I did, I think I sort of, I did do a lot of theater, and I think I didn't know what I wanted to be. I thought that maybe I'd be a social worker at some point. And, when I was in high school, but I was really, I got bad grades.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I was one of those kids that I'm sure a lot of people, especially in the arts, are, is like, if I liked it, I would get an A. If I didn't like it, I would skip it all the time. I would, you know, like, and there would be no rhyme or reason to it. Like, I really was, I like liked calculus, and I would do well in calculus, but art, for some reason, I didn't like my teacher, so I would skip it. And I failed art.
No rhyme or reason.
I failed
on
art.
Paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of that, I felt like, I mean, I didn't apply for any other schools, but I was like, I'm not going to get into any good schools. So I auditioned for art schools, and I ended up going to Juilliard. I got into Juilliard, and I was like, oh, okay, this will impress my family. It's totally what it was. It's like, this will impress. It's actually one of the things that I liked Juilliard, but I was too young when I went there. You know, I don't think that I got as much out of it as I should have, because I was 17 and I didn't know what I was, I didn't know who I was. And so I didn't really have, I should have gone to a liberal arts college, but whatever, I didn't. And
listen, yeah. How many of us feel like that particular pocket of time is like kind of a weird blur of, it's, I don't know. I feel like I had this conversation with a male friend of mine who lived like half in Sweden and half in America, because his one parent was Swedish and they divorced and stuff. And I feel like, I wish he were here, because I feel like he could speak much better to the sort of European approach to education. But I feel like we had the conversation like 10 years ago where he was like, yeah, American kids are expected to know at the most inappropriate time of their age what they want and what they want to focus on.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, I feel like they've figured it out better in other countries. Big surprise with education. Yeah. But, you know, that, like, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 is, like, maybe the most confusing, worst time to be like, I'm this. I'm going to study this.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes you feel like... like, so much of life is just, like, luck or a decision. Like, I didn't make a decision to be an actor. I guess I've continually made that decision now. But I think a large part of it was I didn't think I could get into any other school. You know, it was just, like, an accident.
Yeah.
And because I skipped a few art classes. That's really why I'm here. That's why we're talking.
The irony of you skipping art classes and then that necessitating you going to an art school kind of like makes my mind tired. Like, I can't. What? But yeah, that's totally fascinating. Okay, so you skipped classes. Does that mean that you were like also into like a scene that was sort of into like misbehaving or?
No, I mean, my best friend in high school was a... I think he was a drug addict.
Okay.
But I never did drugs. I never drank. I never smoked. And like never.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I just.
First of all, shout out for having a male best friend. Second of all, suspecting he was a drug addict, but somehow that didn't play into your life
at all.
He did
meth out of a light bulb in my backyard. Okay. I remember that.
Okay.
But he was really smart and funny and... but we would, this is a weird thing that I've never thought about. We would skip class to go to the Walker Art Museum.
You skipped art to go to an art museum. Yes. Fantastic. Boy, that really does seem like, exactly what you should be doing as an artist. It really, like, it feels like the right art instructor would be like, listen, I gotta respect that you went to the art museum.
That's true.
If it's the right hippy dippy, it'd be like, I'm still gonna give her an A.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
I think everybody thought I was like I was a goody two shoes, but I like to think of myself as sort of a secret punk.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So
what did you look like on the outside?
I looked like this. Yeah. I've looked the exact same as I've not changed. I have still the same hair. I looked exactly the same. I probably wore flannel shirts.
Yeah.
I think I did. I remember a green and orange flannel shirt that I'd wear all the time.
Yeah. Ooh, I think I had a green and orange flannel shirt that I would wear all the time. Twinsies.
I had more hats though. I'd wear more hats.
Okay. What kind of hats?
We
like top hats. Like everything else the same, but I always wore top hats.
Wouldn't think it would go, but it does.
Yeah, no, I believe it. Actually,
a top hat goes with everything.
Sure. It really does. No one tries it, so no one knows this except you. Oh, God. You unlock the secret. No, what kind of hats would you wear? Like a newsboy cap?
Anything. It was how I expressed myself.
Like a straw hat?
Yes, I mean, great. Sure. I would wear a straw hat. I had a purple coat that I would wear, this like this purple hat with like, I don't really know. I feel like I was a weird kid, but I also was homecoming queen. But also I did like these weird, I think I was homecoming queen because people knew me from plays in high school.
Okay.
And we had a huge school, so it was 4,000 people. Bless you.
I'm allergic to large schools. I don't know. Cool. Get my EpiPen. Oh boy.
Are you smelling toast?
I'm smelling a little bit. Nope. I already sneezed, so now my nose is stuffed up, so I can't enjoy the smell.
You saved
toast.
Your own life.
God damn it. This is amazing.
Your body knows how to get rid of it.
This is really a study in science,
I guess. You're a medical miracle.
I am a medical miracle. Okay, so they knew you from plays. Anyway, somehow that translated over. I've said this before, but my school was also large, but plays and homecoming were so separate that, like, there would, like, no one would Like the girls who were in the homecoming mm-hmm. world were cheerleaders. And had uh-huh. zero to do with anything artistic. Mm-hmm. And there was just like a huge separation. So I'm always interested in schools where like those two things have anything to do with one another.
I would say that like that I think my high school, which was really big, as I said before, I'm now remembering on the homecoming court, it was just like the people that were smart, the speech people, mm-hmm. me. I mean, there was a couple of cheerleaders, but the nicest guy, the most popular guy in our class, which is this guy, Jeremy Phillips, is now has a children's school somewhere in Africa with his wife, and he's lived there for 10 years, and they are... You know, they're just awesome people.
Yeah,
and
like whenever genuinely good human being.
I'm like, we really picked great people uh-huh. to like in our school.
Yeah.
Not talking about myself, but because
that does reflect well on the yeah. kids and their perspectives and stuff.
Yeah, when I see a movie where the most popular guy is a jerk, I'm like, that's not Apple Valley High School.
Yeah.
It was Apple Valley. That was the name of the place in Minnesota.
And were there apples being grown in that valley?
Apple tree in every backyard.
In every backyard. Mm-hmm. Wow, like the city prided itself on yes. the fact that there was an apple tree in every backyard.
Yeah,
do you like apples?
Yeah, I do. Who doesn't like apples? What jerk? You don't?
I like apples, but I don't crave apples. Like if I crave a fruit, it's not an apple.
Have you had a really good apple though, Janet?
I do like what was I going to say? Fuji's. A Braeburn apple is nice. Ooh. I like with a little tart.
Uh-huh.
Fuji's very nice. Mm-hmm. Is it the Pink Lady? There's something
there is
that's
a
hard
Pink Lady.
To get now.
Oh, that, really?
Like used to be, I can't remember what it's called.
Huh.
But yeah,
for someone who doesn't like apples, you know a lot about apples.
I do like apples. I clearly have tried them all. Washington, Braeburn. I really do. Oh my God, I know so much about apples.
Yes. Shocking.
And I rarely eat apples anymore. I guess I must have been eating them more
yes.
at some point in my
and
life.
And knowing what kind, do you think if you had...
I think I ate more cheese and more apples together. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
then kill somehow, me. That's so good.
Right? A nice apple and cheese.
Yes. Ugh. Apples and cheese.
Yeah.
Apples, cheese, and wine, and bread. I feel like
God,
I could...
It's just a
I could
great...
Then, put me in a room with all that yeah. stuff and I don't even ever have to leave.
Let me take it one step further
because
yes, I feel as a gardener you'll appreciate this. Take me out of the room, just give me that like on a hillside. Then we're extra good because food tastes better when you're outside anyway.
Yes,
so like
yes.
that as sort of a picnic environment scenario.
Let's have a baby.
Oh my God.
I know that this
right?
is where we started, but can we have a baby?
I'm in. I'm in. I really, yeah, all of that just is lovely. I think I'm going to have to get more apples and cheese back into my life. This is a revelation for me, for as much as I just unloaded a bunch of names and apples. Okay, apple tree and back. Okay, uh-huh. I like the sound of this high school. I like that you were a secret punk.
Mm-hmm.
Still unsure about, how did you become best friends with this dude?
We met in church sleepaway camp.
Okay.
I don't know. He liked me and he would call me and I was too nice to not talk to him. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember one day I was like, he's really funny. And then I loved him.
But he liked you as a friend or he was interested in you and then he got over the idea of... being with you, or he never did, and you were always best friends, and he always secretly wished that you would someday fall in love with him, and you broke his heart. I did have one of those. If you're wondering why it sounds so familiar,
yes, yes,
God, that was horrible.
Yes, yes,
it was
happened.
A horrible.
Yes, it was.
Did it
horrible.
End like badly? Not badly, like. Like, let me tell you quickly how
yes,
mine ended with mm-hmm. the most wonderful person that I adored, who really was my best friend, eventually telling me that he had been chewing on Tums all day, every day for like months because he was so anxious about the fact that he had feelings for me that he knew that I didn't have for him. And it was shattering on both sides.
Uh-huh. And then how did you, then he was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, he kind of was like, I just can't be around you anymore.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. God, it was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it was one of the worst things that's ever happened to me is that friendship ending. But it lasted all through college and then he met a lady she didn't want us talking to each other, which at that time I was like, "What? We're just friends. Why?"
Yeah. That stuff's always tough though, right? That's a hard it's different for everyone, and it's hard because it's a reflection on like in the inside of a relationship, mm-hmm. what that's like and what your background is. Because I feel like I've been at different times in my life more jealous and less jealous.
Yes.
And now I don't feel like I get jealous at all.
Me neither.
And it's such a relief. And guys, for those of you who are younger, I feel that you have this to look forward to, because I feel like uniformly most of my friends are like, God, I just don't care. Like, if I'm in a relationship with someone that I can't trust, I'm not going to stay in that relationship no matter what.
Yeah.
But it is. It's like hard when, because you don't want to, because I feel like you don't want to have friends that say come to you and say, I'm not supposed to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Ever in life. That seems a shame to.
Do you have a lot of guy friends?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. And do you have ex-boyfriends
have ex-boyfriends that are friends. They're not like friends where, you know, they call me to talk about their girl troubles.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Do you
have
the same?
Yes. I
mean, further out, like way back, but I mean, like, you know.
Yes, but do you have like.
4 years ago, like somebody would, you know, if it's like recent, yes. I don't think anybody's going to be like.
Yes, of course.
But yeah.
I have a problem slash a great thing, but I like it about myself, but also I think it creates problems, is I can't let anybody Same. Out of my life.
I completely understand. That's why we're having a baby together.
If I loved you once, I'm going to still love you. And not like it's very easy for me to be like, I know your place and what a relationship is. And, I don't like have feelings of longing or anything.
It's not that,
but I just don't, there was a reason that I was drawn to you and I, care about you and I want to be your friend.
Way to live. I think that's
I
great.
I think so.
And I feel like I'm monologuing a lot, and I really got to get into MASH too, cause I know we're tight on time. But, I feel like, I don't think I've said this before on the podcast, but I really do feel like I have the relationship with time, especially when you have those quiet moments, like if you're gardening mm-hmm. or for me, if I'm on my bike, or those moments where maybe you go to bed a little early when you're not too tired and mm-hmm. you just listen to music mm-hmm. and you just kind of like, it's almost meditative, uh-huh. all the stuff I'm describing. I get these like waves of emotional gratitude and love for people throughout my life.
Yeah.
And there's a very distinct feeling that time is not existing the way we think it is mm-hmm. and that everything is all happening at once mm-hmm. somehow. Mm-hmm. So it feels to me like I'm connecting with like 15 years ago when mm-hmm. I was in a relationship with a wonderful man in San Francisco.
Yes.
Obviously it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I don't regret that time.
No.
And I feel this feeling of love as if I'm dropping right in to the center of that life mm-hmm. that I was in. And I just feel the sense of like, God, like I feel like it's still happening. Like everything is always still happening.
Yes.
And
yeah.
it's your choice whether to like dive in, drop in and access those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody could at any time. And isn't that a better way? Wouldn't you rather feel that way than to hold grudges or to feel like, ugh, I can't believe I fell for that guy. Ugh, you know what I mean? Like to connect with like whatever it was that was important to you about
yes,
that person.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Because even if you feel like they were jerked to you at some point, they still had, you know, you still had a special time together.
Yeah.
And like it's, I don't want to be judged, and I try not to be judged on just, you know, a few moments or something.
Sure.
Yeah. I also feel like it gives like, I really don't understand when people cut off people. Cause I mean, there are people that I don't speak to but I don't like that. I wish that I feel like I will bend over backwards to know people that I dated.
I always say in general, mm-hmm. I always say I really don't want to have people that I wouldn't want to run into.
Yes. Oh, I just me would, too.
And
that's
by the way,
the
I never
worst.
Run into anyone because it's a city where you never run in unless it's an audition or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't want to be one of those people that's like, oh God, I hope I don't see blah, blah.
Oh,
you know
gosh.
What I mean? I just want it to create an environment in your life where whatever's happened between you and someone else,
yes.
friendship, work relationship, or otherwise, ideally you feel good going into a space where like you happenstance see someone and you can just be like, hey.
Yes. Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah. 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 And like what you were talking about dropping into and it all happening at the same time, it's sort of, it like gives your life, you're always building your life no matter if you feel like it or not. And these people like made your life, they mm-hmm. made your life.
Absolutely.
They made you who you are, and it gives your life a sense of continuity, I think, mm-hmm. to keep that like that wave of people sort of in, you know, at least how they are, and what's going on in their life and beyond Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. I love what you just said about the idea of like you being kind of the culmination of all of these, you know, experiences that you have with other people in all walks of your life. And I just had that kind of image of like us all, but this is, wow, this is maybe the most folksy I've ever gotten on the podcast.
I'm going to lay down.
A goddamn lot. You're going to lose it. I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Yes.
It's like we're a patchwork quilt.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Maria. Yeah, she dropped the microphone. She's like borderline going to pass out over how bad that was. Because it is kind of like, you know, you have to, all those different squares have to sort of exist. Or listen, octagonals, I don't know. Yeah. Listen, but like that there is this sort of sense of like it all sort of stitches together. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have like a bunch of holes in your quilt because you're like in denial about whatever part of your life. The girlfriend who shit on you, the guy who broke your heart, the dad who was this. It's like, how do I find a way to make those exist together? Because like it or not, like that's the fabric of my life.
Yeah. And also I think you just never know. I've had relationships that I have thought that person is a jerk and I don't ever want to talk to them. And then time goes by and I'm like, you know what? I learned a lot from them. I was sort of a jerk. And then we talk and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm really happy about the whole relationship, this thing that for months I was like, that bad. Why did I do that? And why did that person do that? You know, everything just softens and gain perspective.
Yeah, well, you're giving yourself the opportunity to learn from stuff and to like be forgiving of yourself too for choices and stuff like that, which is like everyone should do probably more of that.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're, at least not the people I care about. I don't know that we're like a group full of people who just don't think twice. Like, if anything, most people I know are too hard on themselves.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Which is why I feel like we're such a sick society in so many ways. Listen, we don't have time to get into that right now. I got to play Nash with you. I'm going to try to touch on some things that came up during the podcast that I got excited about to see if I can think about this.
Okay.
You have... I mean, you know the game MASH, yeah?
Yes, of course. Great.
You have three different, wildly different styles of garden. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll figure out where this where this garden is, but it doesn't, it could be that, like, it exists fine here in California no matter what, but, like, three very different types of gardens that you would like to have. You'll end up with one, of course.
Okay. That I would like to have. I mean, like a formal garden.
Great, like hedges, like hedges, neatly like trimmed hedges, sort of hedges, like a French kind of. Like how? Like what kind of?
Like something with like what's it at Marie Antoinette's house?
Great.
What is Marie Antoinette's house called?
Versailles.
Yes. Maybe with like, a hedge that looks like a bear.
Love it.
An English garden.
Great. So more wild and like wildflowers.
Howard's
sort of
End.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
And then, what's another kind of garden? A Zen garden.
Great. I'm trying to ask you questions that you'll enjoy. If at any time I give you a category that you're like,
brother,
I don't know. this is not a question I'm looking forward to. Okay, let's go with it. So, three places that you would have a second home, and they could be imaginary places also.
Okay,
like you can really go, but not like a movie, because I'm going to ask you that in a second. But like, you know, I mean,
like the bottom of the ocean.
Great.
Montana.
Great. God, I love Montana
too. Oh, me too. I love it so much. And where else? Where else would I like a second home? I would like a second home in the backyard of my first home.
Oh, that's so great.
That my family could stay in.
And that's in Boring.
Oh, I didn't mean that, but I go back to that my...
What do you think of as your first home? Is that a different...
No, I meant my first home, the house that I just bought, but...
Oh, great.
But I do go back to my house in Boring, and I love it. It's like the most beautiful place I've ever seen.
Oh, it's really... I need to make an adjustment?
Yeah, maybe.
You don't want a home in the bottom of the ocean. That sounds lonely. Boring. Okay, great.
And hard to get to.
And very.
And all those fish are weird down there.
They are very weird. It's very dark down there.
Yeah.
You need a little more light.
The ugliest fish. I mean, they're fascinating. Reality, they're so fascinating, but they're, wow.
They're not the prettiest.
The stuff of nightmares.
That's certainly true. Okay. You can. Okay. You can travel. By something that is not as common as like a car or like a, you know, like if you just got everywhere by blink. Or not everywhere, but you know, you could either transport, you know, you do just like blink and you'd be somewhere, or you could fly somewhere.
Yeah, like that Star Trek thing. I'd like that Star Trek thing.
Yeah, beaming.
Glad you knew that.
I'm sorry, Trekkies. That's not what it's called. No, everyone who watches Star Trek would be like, yes, you say beam me up, but it's like your transport.
I didn't even know beaming.
So I'm putting beaming. Hilarious. By the way, like the idea of maybe if they say beam me up because you're traveling like on a beam of light.
Maybe. Yay.
Check, please.
No, dessert. Ooh. We're ordering three desserts.
Certainly the cheese cart's coming. Certainly the cheese cart. Okay, beaming.
Beaming. I guess beaming like / sliding on a rainbow.
Oh, great. That is not even a / That is part two. Sliding on a rainbow. Amazing. Patchwork quilt.
Like fast walking.
Oh, I love fast walking.
Me too.
Like when you're on a walking, moving sidewalk and you're disappointed when it stops.
I love it so much.
You're like, God, I'm so powerful. I'm barely exerting myself.
Oh, it's the best part about being in an airport.
Yeah. Fast walking.
Except when people are in front of you. But
and then they're not taking advantage. Like, why would you stand?
Yeah.
This is the chance for you to feel like you're a fast walker. Yeah. I get it. I super get it. Okay. What about... I don't know why I'm like so obsessed with the idea of gardening right now, because I really got excited about that for you. Three things that you would like that you have in your existing garden that you don't actually have yet, but like something that would be great to add. Maybe it's something that in real life wouldn't grow well here, but it'd be a fun addition.
That's interesting. Well, I love peonies. I would like more peonies.
Great.
I would like a pineapple tree.
Ooh.
I don't even know if that's a thing, but I do like pineapples.
They're trees.
I just never have seen. I don't know if I've ever seen a pineapple.
Does it grow like on a?
It grows on a
palm tree type.
Yeah, something like that.
Thing?
I think.
Yeah,
I would like that. I have what else? What other plants do I like things that smell good. What are those white flowers that they do grow a lot here. I'm not going to think
like
of
jasmine.
Jasmine.
I know that jasmine. There's some jasmine going. I was riding my bike this morning and, the sun was like kind of hadn't hit, you know, because they stop smelling sometimes during the day when it's night jasmine, I guess. And the sun like hadn't hit some of the valleys that I was riding through, and it was still so strong. Oh, it's such a beautiful smell. Great answer. Okay. Three, you have to wear a hat every day for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Three hats. Which one are you going to end up with? But we'll get three.
Every day for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take this one really seriously.
Great. There's a good chance this one will happen.
Jeweled crown.
Wonderful. Oh my God. Amazing. If everyone just got used to seeing you in a jeweled crown, just got used to it.
They'd have to.
It's a great experience.
They'd have to.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to work. It would be hard, definitely hard to play different characters.
They'd have to wig you over your crown.
And I already have an enormous head. That's so amazing. it would be a problem.
Oh God. I love the crown. Okay.
What was that thing that like, was it in the Never Ending Story? It's also a crown.
Yeah. It's like a little tiara, but that's such a great one. It's like a little forehead crown.
They're all crowns. What a weirdo.
I love it.
a forehead crown.
What you're talking about. I wanted that fucking jewel in the center of my forehead.
Oh my God. These are the girls that when I was growing up, I was like, I get it. How lucky are those girls?
I know.
And not lucky to be in a movie. How lucky they are to like ride on that.
I know. It wasn't like they were actresses. No. She was the princess.
Yes. I wanted to be them. What else? What other hats do I like to see? I would really like to have like some sort of floppy, this is something that I actually could wear, like one of those, I can't find one, but one of those like Diane Keaton.
Oh yeah. Hats. Sure. Sure.
But I can't find a good one.
Yeah.
I haven't looked enough, but you can't, I've been looking at eBay, but you can't buy a hat on eBay.
No, you're absolutely right. It is totally something where you're going to be back in New York, you'll be in Paris, or you'll be somewhere and you'll walk past a vintage store,
be in Paris.
And you'll pop in, right? And then like, you'll just be like, I don't know. It'll be like, you're there and you're in love and you're like giggling and you're like, I don't know. And you just like throw it on, like you're making a joke and he's like, no, we're getting that for you.
And let's get married.
And by the way, let's get married. That, this is what I see happening for you with this hat. Okay, great. Okay. I'm going to use that as a segue into three great dates. Like you're going to be on.
That I've been on?
Dream date.
Dream date.
Three great dream dates.
Dream dates. I'm pretty, my dream date, well.
Listen, I dream date small. I feel like my dream date is like recently and I was like,
dinner.
I don't know, sitting on a train and just like playing a card game or something stupid like that.
Yeah, mine are like, what are three dream dates? I'm going on a road trip today.
Love it. Oh, wow, that's awesome.
To Sequoia, so I'm going to put that in there.
Great.
Let's see. This is going to sound weird, but this is totally true. I want someone to take me to Ohio.
Great.
I want to go to Ohio. I love everyone that's from Ohio. It's like a fetish. It's a fetish of mine. It's people from Ohio.
I love it.
I once, when I was flying to New York, I hate nonstop flights. I like to stop and like get off the plane and walk around, especially like when they're that long. And, I made the plane. It sounds like I was like a terrorist. Like landed in Cincinnati. I got a flight that's landed in Cincinnati just so I could like be like see the Cincinnati airport. Oh, I don't know.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it's
we agree on so many other things. I must also love Ohio. I can only imagine. It must become very important to me also.
And what else? I would like to go I want to go on that. You said train, but that is something that I want to go on a train to up the coast to Montana.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. Absolutely. Great answer. Okay. All right, so you're in a relationship. You're about to go on this road trip. So probably, do you want me to do? I mean, I typically do. I'll tell you who loves this is married women because they've been with their husbands forever and they know it's not cheating. I'll never forget Sarah Watkins' response when I was like, I mean, I love Todd. So do you want to do this thing where it's like your crushes? She's like, I think it's going to be fine. Yes, I do want to do the crushes. this is because it's traditional old school MASH. So it's like, you know, three guys could be somebody that you had a huge crush on when you were a teenager and you're sort of, you know, vicariously for her listing them here. All due respect to your boyfriend is what I'm saying. But three guys, crush-worthy guys that maybe you would, you know, go out on a date with or like in this alternate universe you get to crush out on in person.
Who do I have a crush on? Oh, why can't I?
I know. For some reason, this is like a big pressure question.
That people can't think of people that they have. I mean, who do I have a crush on?
Or did you?
Yeah, or did I?
It's easier for me to conjure up people from when that was really important to me when I can say like, oh my God, John, they're a kid on Night Court or what have you. That was easier. It was easier for me then. Although I do have a few in my back pocket.
I have some crushes. I had crushes, but
the only reason I'm sticking to this is I feel your answer will be interesting. Just because
they're too interesting.
No, it's so good. Listen, I've had a lot of peculiar answers, and I embrace that because that's the women who do this podcast. Like when someone said Jeremy Irons, I was like, you're safe. You're in a safe place.
I know, you know when you get a thought in your head and then it's the only thing you can say, but it's, cause I have a crush on somebody that my, that when I was a kid, that someone I know now.
Right.
And a friend of mine is married to.
I definitely have those.
And, but it was just like, you know, when I was in like high school, I had a, oh, what? I might like be like, please don't put this in the podcast. Is that possible?
No. It is. If you want me to edit it out, I probably can. But
let me think about, before I say that, let me think about anybody.
Also, like fictional characters. Like, don't feel pressured to have it be like, it has to be Vince Vaughn or someone like that. Like, could even be like Atticus Finch.
Oh, Papa Smurf. One of the Smurfs. I definitely.
A Smurf.
Yeah, a Smurf. Fantastic. I really had it bad
now
for the
you've
Smurfs.
Unlocked this, the secrets to this answer.
Amazing. That was definitely, this guy, this has not happened in my life. I've never dated like a really fat guy, but I did have it for like fat guys when I was a kid. And there's this kid, Myron, that was like really chubby in third grade that I love so much. Okay. And his name was Myron. And I'm trying to think of who do I have? I have crushes sometimes on like, I don't know if you have this, like this is going to sound creepy, but it's not like older married men that are in happy relationships. I'm like,
well, yeah, because it's representative of like, yeah, you don't,
to the
you
point where like, if they ever asked me out, I'd be like, oh
no, I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, now. I like you.
It's a fantasy of respect of like, I hope I have a man like that when I'm that age and that is devoted to me. That's how I feel about Ted Danson, because he is so in love with Mary Steenburgen that I'm like, I have a crush on how great he is. I'd be disgusted if he was interested in me.
Yes.
But like, I see that relationship and I'm like, oh my God, that's like the best man in the world.
Oh my God, why is this so hard? It's so hard.
You're so close.
I mean, right now we have Myron and
a Smurf. It's really like,
I know, I don't know why.
Gravy. It's whatever comes after this is just gravy. I love it.
I'll think of something. Just a second. Sorry. I have a crush on, oh my God! Has anyone had a harder time answering this question?
For different reasons, yes. Sometimes they honestly can't think of anyone. Sometimes they have people, but they're like, I don't feel that way anymore. Some people, I've turned it into like, someone was like, you know, just give me somebody that like I could spend the afternoon with. That it's not even like a crush. It's just like a person I'd be interested in spending an afternoon with. And so I've converted it to that.
Whoa, that's a low stakes. That's a low stakes crush.
But you know, if it's like it's like a woman crush too.
Oh.
It's like, oh, like I would want to spend the afternoon with Judi Dench or whatever. You know.
Yeah. I mean, then it becomes like, who in the history of time would you want to spend like a,
yeah.
I always say Jesus.
Great. Everything about this list of three people is amazing.
I don't know if
it is. A Smurf, it's Myron, and Jesus Christ is the best three answers
horrible.
To that question.
I apologize.
I've ever gotten.
I apologize.
I'm grateful that they're so
except
horrible
Myron,
because I think it's quite wonderful. I really am into it.
I can't wait to find out how my life turns out.
I'm also excited about that. Three things that three foods that you can access at the drop of a hat that have no physical ramifications, whether that means you are allergic to something that you can now have, like bees. What? You can eat bees? No, that's your mom. But whether it's like apples, cheese, anything that like pasta, pizza, anything that you would love to be able to eat all the time, but for whatever reason you don't.
That I can't. I could eat... I could eat. There's a caramel ice cream that is so good. Salted caramel ice cream that I would love to eat. I would love to be able to eat weird food that I can't stomach, grasshoppers. Like when people eat grasshoppers, I would love to be able to try that and be like, well, I tried that.
I wish I had an iron stomach like that,
but
too.
I can't. Yeah. And I also just like oysters. I just learned how to shuck an oyster and I'm into it.
Oh yeah, I'd like to learn how to shuck.
It's not hard. I could teach you
Sounds
in a second.
Great. Okay. Yeah. All right. Moving through this. Okay. Tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Pausing this.
Bringing back so many
I'm
memories.
Going to reveal your future. Maria Thayer, get ready to meet your future face to face. Okay. First of all, I want to congratulate you on. No, I'm saving that one. Okay. All right. Listen. First of all, you have a beautiful Howard's End type English.
Oh, that's the one I wanted.
It's really good.
That's the one
I'm really excited about that for you.
Okay, good.
However this ends up working out, that garden is also in Montana.
Oh, beautiful. I'll have to water it more, but that's great.
You have to water it more. Now, you live in a shack.
But I live in a shack. I didn't know.
Oh, that's right. Because that's mesh. But I feel that the shack in Montana is the Montana equivalent of like you're just out in your garden all the time.
Yes. It's like little, the house that I live in now.
Land.
Yes.
Little house. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
And also, this works out nicely, I think, all the peonies that you've been able to.
Oh,
you have a large section of rambling peonies in this English garden.
Peonies would be in an English garden.
Right? I mean, it's a good, it just turned out well.
This is true. I think this is
true. This is definitely
so far, this seems like actually could be my life. Yeah.
It's pretty likely. Yeah, it's like if not inevitable.
90%. Yes, exactly.
If not inevitable. Mm-hmm. Now, if you ever want to just beam over to wherever it is that you are. You beam over to Montana to your garden. You can beam back to LA.
Great.
I want you to feel free to work. Also, as one of your dates, beam yourself right to Ohio. You could fly there, sure. You could also beam there if you need to. So no worries on that. I also want to congratulate you on your ability to conjure, eat, enjoy with no ramifications your salted caramel.
That's also what I wanted.
Yeah. And then, you know, I guess maybe certainly you're going to get this Diane Keaton hat that you've always wanted.
Oh, everything seems
whether or not you're wandering around somewhere in Paris or some other situation.
Yeah,
I feel sure that based on that description of how that's going to come to be, the person who buys you that hat,
that's who I'm wondering. Who am I in Paris with?
A Smurf. Which I think in France they call the Schtroumpfs or something. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I know that, I won't get into it's all like a whole long weird story.
Why?
But I'm pretty sure that they're called Schtroumpfs. Maybe that's a German term. So you'll be in Paris being
sounds like what I do with a Smurf.
You're gonna Smurf that Smurf like nobody's.
I'm gonna Stroop that Smurf. Night
mother
long.
Smurfing Smurf. Maria, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
Let's have
a great
lunch.
Road trip.
I know.
I do want to.
I do want to, too.
We can throw Janie Haddad in the mix. What do I care? Or we can keep each other all to ourselves and make plans to make our baby together.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
No, it's totally my pleasure. It's a delight.
That's going to be such a great
time. Thank you.
And I'll see you in San Francisco.
I'll see you in San Francisco, yes.
I'm probably going to put this out on the week that you're there. So,
great.
Which is in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Yay. Anything else you want to tell the nice folks before
No, just thank you for listening to the end.
To the end.
All the way
to the end.
All the way through.
You made it, guys. And here's your reward.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.